Welcome to our episode of Revenue Chat. Today we have Donovan Kovar, CEO and Chief Strategist of the 24/7 Sales Agency. With an impressive list of clients, Donovan says there is much more to search engine optimization than just getting free traffic. In fact, there are many wrong ways to do it that can end you up in the soup with Google. If you've ever thrown money down the drain on wasted SEO optimization, lead generation, and other online sales efforts, you want to hear what's next as Donovan shares tips and strategies with us next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony D'Urso with Revenue Chat, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. With us, we have Donovan Kovar, CEO and Chief Strategist of the 24/7 Sales Agency. He's quite the digital marketing expert who manages over $1 million in advertising for successful online businesses, working with each one to reduce waste, improve conversion, and increase their bottom line. Exhibiting a high level of competence, his agency was selected to be part of Google's AdWords agency program, which is not something to be taken lightly, and speaks volumes in itself. In fact, now that Donovan is on the inside at Google, he takes part in higher-level support and tools that are not available to others. That's a significant feather in anyone's cap. With the online landscape continuously evolving, only the fittest keep on surviving. Donovan's expertise is high level in just about anything you can think of in terms of online digital marketing. One client received a 1,300% increase overnight, as an example, from AdWords to GEO targeting or geo targeting, from link building to using the right keywords, from remarketing to visitors to Facebook, on Facebook to conversion optimization. You could say he's been there, I can handle that attitude, in being able to take any company to a higher level of leads, sales, and conversions. If you've ever thrown money down the drain doing online marketing with insufficient return, this interview may just be your godsend. You may want to take some notes. Donovan's website is 24-sales.com. And with great pleasure, here's Donovan Kovar. Hello, Donovan. How are you?
Hey, Tony. I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to chat with us on Blog Talk Radio Live here. Donovan, you've been quite the success over some years. And while the internet does constantly evolve and change quite a bit, you're definitely considered a guru and an expert by a great many businesses. In fact, you have a nice long list of successful clients.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
It's good to have successful clients. I'm happy that they're doing well.
Your blood, sweat, and tears pays off. So for our audience, we'd like to know, what are the most important considerations when businesses start to market online?
That's a great question, and there's a lot of confusion. People usually think that if they just get enough traffic, that somehow magically their business will take off. And this has just been the earliest misconception that I had. You know, if I could just get people to come to my website, then we'll make more money. And that's kind of evolved, you know, in my thinking that's evolved over time, because you start to realize, well, there's lots of different types of traffic. And if you think of your online, your website or your online business similar to a brick and mortar store, if a bunch of people just came to your store, like if a bus full of people crashed into your store, that doesn't mean that business is going to get better just because a bunch of people are in your store, right? So likewise, traffic to your website does not necessarily equal more sales. So what you want to be thinking about is it's the correct type of traffic. And then number two, whether or not you have what they're looking for at the time that they visit your website. You really want to think about the psychology of that from a selling perspective. And then after that, it's really about how well you manage that visitor from the time they take an action, whether that's being requesting more information or looking at your products or buying something of a lower value at the first point of contact. You want to think about what's the process that you use to send them into your value ladder so that they will buy more from you and continue to be your customer. So it's a a process of thinking more holistically than we used to do when we first started 15 years ago, and really thinking about the whole picture. So that's how I want to orient everybody for the context of this dialogue, so that they understand that it's not just about buying traffic, it's not just about SEO, it's about all of it. And that's kind of what my focus is as an advertising expert, is helping people move the visitor from point A all the way through to point Z in the sales funnel.
Interesting, Donovan. Now, as you mentioned, 15 years ago, pretty much when it all started, really, you know, you heard these stories, someone put up a website and got all this traffic and all this sale. There were commercials about, hey, put up a website and, you know, be a instant success overnight. Why doesn't that happen now? Why can't you put up a website and get traffic?
Yeah, well, it was the wild west, you know, back in 2001, 2002. I built my first website in 2003 when I finally had reached the point where I knew I needed a website. But the novelty of it has worn off, and there's so many websites now, and so many offers, and so much spam, and there's phishing, you know, where people pose as another website, you know, hacking, things that people do. I think the novelty of it has just worn off, and people are skeptical and cynical and suspicious. So in order to, you know, convince somebody to pull out a credit card, you have to really show that you have high status, and you have to show them that you really have a lot of value to offer, and you guarantee it. And, you know, the search engines have gone through the same process as well of, like, filtering spam and filtering sites out. Things that used to be easy to do are not anymore. Google has become very much more strict about the quality of a website. So, you know, back in the day, there was a time where I owned over 100 websites, and we would just use those to get traffic because Google would rank them. They'd show up for certain things, and you could manipulate the search engines, and you're not supposed to do that, but it was everybody could do that. And so we all did that because it got results. And you know, over time, Google just stopped allowing that. And so now we have to kind of be smarter and take the high road, so to speak, with our online marketing practices.
Very interesting, Donovan. Yes, I recall some of those stories, how things have evolved. So business goes online, or a company decides, hey, I'm going to put a website up, regardless of the service. Is like AdWords or SEO, where do they go? Because it seems like such a big universe. So what would you recommend first?
Right. Well, when you think about who you want to come to your website, and I used that joke about a bus crashing into your brick and mortar business, you want to think about who is your target buyer. Who is that person? How old are they? What's their demographic? What's their geographic? If they're, you know, located in a particular city or state, are they male or female? What's their age? What are their interests? That's who you want to target. You want to evaluate that first and kind of come up with a clearer picture for yourself. We call that an avatar, somebody's avatar. And an avatar is basically kind of a digital representation of who a person might be. So in one of my businesses, we established that our avatar is a guy named Mark, who is about 40 to 45 years old. He works in IT or in some industry where a corporate structure where he needs a degree in order to advance his career. And so that's our primary person that we target. And knowing that, then we can speak to that individual in the content that we use on our website. And then when we advertise, whether that be on AdWords or Facebook or other media sources, we can try to target that demographic in our advertising as well, which is an important factor, because if we know that we're selling something that men prefer to buy versus women, we're going to try to exclude them, females, from our advertising so that we just don't spend money on people that aren't likely to buy or follow us.
I see. So that avatar is like the ideal customer that one can then search for and target?
Yeah, exactly. And those people also, you know, if they have a search intent, you want to think about there's two types of advertising, really. There's display advertising and search advertising. Search advertising is when you go to Google and you type in, you know, Reebok tennis shoes, right? Or, you know, you're searching on lawn care in my city. that's a search intent. And somebody who's doing that, that could be male or female, and those people are all probably good candidates for what you're offering if it's a match. The trick is finding out which of those keywords match up with your website. So that's search marketing, and then there's display advertising, which is showing ads on things like Facebook, where people are they're not doing a search, but if you can target that demographic, either male or female in a particular age range, and maybe they have a particular income that you can choose as well as the as part of the demographic structure. Now you can target them with a display ad and that they may respond to. So that's the two types of advertising you want to be thinking about. And that process is really about honing in on who your buyer is and targeting them.
I see. Well, is that out of sequence in the action or factor of buying advertisement as opposed to just doing some good search engine optimization to get what's called organic traffic?
Well, yeah, I think it is out of sequence. And I've always kind of been a proponent of, as an SEO expert, I've always said to people, let's prove it on AdWords first. You know, if we can't buy clicks for a particular keyword, like my first website, for example, was Minnesota wedding music. I had a wedding band. This is back in 2003. And I had a wedding band in Minnesota, and I wanted to target that. So I bought clicks first for people who were searching on terms like that. And it was through that process of seeing what people were searching on and then how they responded to my offer that I came to realize what my keywords were. And then I optimized my website for that so that it would ultimately rank, and I became number one for Minnesota wedding music. And then I got the benefit of both paid advertising and organic search engine optimization or free traffic for the keywords that brought me leads.
That's very clever, but it also sounds very expensive for a business that's trying to, you know, get their foot out there and get people to know about their product to test on AdWords.
Well, you know, it can be, but it's more expensive to waste money on search engine optimization with somebody who charges an arm and leg or does all kinds of stuff without knowing where the target is. You know, and when I say the target, I mean the keywords. So if you're going to go out and spend money on search engine optimization, I would recommend that you first spend it on the research and development phase of learning what your market is searching for and what they respond to. Now, you can also use tools like SpyFu and SimilarWeb and SEMrush to look at what your competitors are doing and gain a lot of competitive intelligence from what they do before you ever buy that traffic. So that would actually probably be an even better way to approach it, is use some of the third-party tools to just see what your competitors do and then start from there.
That sounds very, very clever.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very interesting. So one can get can you budget that to be a small amount so that you don't have to necessarily spend thousands? Because I remember, now this was some time ago and things have changed, but back in the day, I did AdWords, and I found that the only way to get good clicks to my site was for that particular product at that time, that particular item, I think it was auto insurance or something, I needed to spend $35 for a click. And that was, there was no way I could afford that. But the top people, I remember now, it was life insurance. The top people were buying everything at $35 a click. So I thought, well, I'll go down to the bottom and get the remnants, the people after the other quotas are filled. And I paid a lot less. It was like a dollar or something click. But I lost so much money, the end result, because the people I got didn't convert. So even a test became very, very expensive. What would you recommend for that?
Well, back to evaluating your competition, I think that is probably one of the smartest things you can do. Looking at what your competitors are doing and modeling them. And Russell Brunson is an internet marketing guru that I like to study, and he teaches that modeling your competitors is the smartest way to do it. Rather than spending years of R&D and trying to learn the hard way, why not just kind of take and learn from what other people have already learned and figured out and model it? Now, it doesn't mean copy it. It just means model it. So if they have a landing page where there's a picture of a lady and she's pointing at the web form and the web form's on the right-hand side and they say something about, you know, here's what you're going to get, you want to start with something similar to that. Not copy, but something similar. So that's going to be an important part. And then look at what their ads are. Look at what they're doing. What are they saying in their ads? If they're spending $35 a click, you can bet if they can afford to do that, they figured out what works so that it's profitable. So that's going to be the next thing. And then, you know, a lot of it comes down to, with AdWords, knowing how to use the inside of the interface, knowing how to use AdWords. And it's about as much as of what you don't do as what you do with AdWords. And people don't realize that there's so many bells and whistles in AdWords. And I when I teach about AdWords or talk about AdWords, I say that AdWords is like the casino. Casino has the house advantage. So when you go to Vegas to bet, you have to go in knowing that the casino is leveraged against you, and they're going to most likely take your money. But if you intend to win, or you know you are a professional at what you're doing, you're going to go in there knowing that. So likewise with AdWords, I approach it knowing that if we don't cross all of our T's and dot all of our I's, that we're probably going to lose money. So all of these things, again, have to be considered. And I teach about the website, similar to like a ship. And with a ship, you want to make sure that all the holes are patched. And I find in websites more often than not, when I work with clients, they think they're doing it right. And when I come in, I see, well, there's a hole here, there's a hole here, there's a hole here, and there's a hole here. And by holes, I mean places that traffic can bounce, places that traffic can click off of your offer and away from your offer, places where conversion codes aren't properly placed so you can't correctly measure, and other things of that nature, things that are broken and stuff that just isn't working. So it needs to be seaworthy. And when I say seaworthy of, I use metaphors. It means it's worthy to go out on the internet and it's worthy to drive traffic to. So that process is really about, you know, doing a professional job. And if you want to wing it, you're going to pay for it. It's going to be part of your education, you know, learning to wing it. That's why it's important, if you're going to have a serious business venture, to get somebody to help you who's experienced at it, or be willing to go through the process, the pain, and the expense of learning it yourself.
Well, yeah, and that can be much more expensive. You've brought up a couple of very good points and a couple of questions here, Donovan. Mm-hmm. Just to go back a moment, does your company provide a service where you evaluate a service or product against a competitor and come back with a spreadsheet or a report of what should be done or shouldn't be done that appears to be successful in that industry?
It's part of my package kind of when I work with a client. I don't specifically provide that as a service per se. For example, I'm working with an agency right now who sells web design in a particular market. And they've been running advertising for a number of years, and it stopped working in the last year. And it worked really well for a long time, and I you know, they hired me to come in and help them. So the first thing I did was evaluate their website, and then I went and looked at what their competitors were doing in the same market for the same keywords. And I brought a handful of examples to them and said, look, these are the things that I see these sites are doing, and I'd like to see us doing those things. So that's the first step, is just quickly kind of, and it's not a big deal. You know, you don't need to spend weeks doing it. It was one, like, an, a half hour's worth of work. Once I found those sites that clearly identified, well, they're doing this and we're not, so let's try doing those things first. And it's really quite simple, but it's just a matter of knowing what to do. And that's the thing, is you just want to kind of pick out some of the competitors who are at the top of the market and try to do what they're doing. And that's going to be the first step. Now, there's no hard and fast rules, and this is not like an exact science. It's part art and part science. So, you got to take feedback and evaluate what's happening. And sometimes I'll buy traffic for a small period of time and just look at how that traffic responded to our ads and our website. You can use Google Analytics to look at that and kind of evaluate, well, how much time are they spending on the site? If you can use things like Crazy Egg to look at the click, where people are clicking on your website, for example, These are KPI or key performance indicators. And when you kind of start to evaluate your key performance indicators, that's where you really get a clearer picture of what's actually happening. And I'm not able to put that into a spreadsheet. I'm not a spreadsheet kind of guy. But usually I can do a small screen share video and say, here's what I think, and here's what I've evaluated, and here's why. And then we work with the designer to just kind of make some adjustments, and a lot of times that just does the trick.
Wow, I love it. So it's sort of a value added. It's like a person comes and gets your services, and in addition, they're getting this additional help just as part of it to make them a success.
Yeah, when we say my services, I'm kind of a holistic digital marketer. I learned a long time ago that you can't make advertising work on its own. It has to be the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. Your website needs to be correct. Your offer needs to be correct. Your product needs to be correct. Your administrative side needs to be correct. Things need to work from beginning to end. And that's one of the biggest things that I work with my clients on, is to help them see where things aren't working and work to correct them from, you know, the whole process. And so it's not like an added bonus. It's just what I do, because I can't make AdWords or Facebook advertising work for a client unless their funnel is correct, their sales funnel.
Got it. So you, okay. So a business that wanted to it's sort of basically restarting fresh, not using the existing structure, but restarting fresh. What should the structure and the funnel, what should it all be? Is that right?
Are you asking me what it should be, or
that's your approach is sort of like starting fresh from the ground up, almost a redesign, taking into account what the client wants to do.
Yeah, not necessarily. It's just different for everybody. If somebody's having a great deal of trouble, we might reevaluate and say, look, this site is just too dated. You know, if they're still using the same website they were in 2005, there's a good chance that it's probably not going to appeal to people like it used to. But you know, you mentioned a client that I have that I created a 1300% increase in leads for, and that process was very similar to what we're talking about. I started with the existing website, and I just started making small changes and measuring them. Hey, what if we tried this? What if we put this there? What if we changed this color? What if we moved this over here? How about if we tried this? And then I took a big banner that he had on the front page. And this is a company that spends $50,000 a month in advertising. So I took the big banner that they had off the homepage, and I put in an opt-in form instead that said, hey, get more information, a free obligation, no obligation quote right here with a picture and some other things on it. And that's when business changed, literally overnight. The client was no longer available to take my phone calls because he was so busy managing leads. And that's still happening, you know, a couple years later. So he's recently went into the Inc. 5000 for a 53% growth rate in the last 3 years. So that's an example of this process actually happening in real life.
That's amazing. I see that you offer something called an SEO intelligence report and action strategy. Is that one of the first things a business should do, or what, you know?
No, that's actually a little dated. Speaking of a dated website, the cobbler's children, you know, rarely have good shoes. My website's kind of dated as well, and I'm talking to somebody about helping me with my own website because I work with clients all day on theirs. But, you know, I'm really moving away from encouraging SEO as a starting point. And that was there was a time, you know, 5 years ago where it was really feasible to really focus on SEO. And I generated 10,000 real estate leads for my wife's real estate company and RE/MAX Advantage Plus using just SEO. And it worked for a time. But that game has changed. And really, these days, I recommend if you're going to be doing business online, the only real sustainable business model you can have is one where you buy traffic and convert it and then sell enough to make it profitable. And SEO has to be considered as icing on the cake. Okay? It's nice if you can get it, but if you have a business that depends on SEO, you're cruising for a bruising.
Well, I know the internet has changed so much. Google continuously changes their algorithms, so So that's the latest and greatest.
But, you know, and also Google knows that they are, you know, a $1 billion business. They want you to buy your traffic. They want you to buy your traffic. And they know that if you can't game their system with SEO, they know you're going to have to buy the traffic. So I always say, let's start by buying it. Make sure, you know, your offer is correct. And we'll start by buying it. We'll work from there. And then over time, the site is much more likely to get organic rankings and quote-unquote free traffic, but only in that order.
It seems to be the model, for example, separate a little bit is Facebook. You could have 5,000 fans, but Facebook will only send your post to maybe 10%, and you have to pay to send your posts and your information to the others, because see that that's where their revenue is in buying that traffic, is in that advertisement.
Exactly. Yep.
But it seems like almost circular and could be very, very expensive. How does someone approach this?
Well, it's like I said, you have to have a good business model. I got approached by a couple gentlemen yesterday, for example, that called me up out of the blue, and they had two websites, and they're really excited about it, and they wanted me to buy traffic for them. And I looked at their websites, and I asked them what their business model was. And they said, well, we just show ads. And they're basically showing AdSense ads, which is Google's ads that you install some code, and it shows other people's advertising on your website. And I just said, hey, guys, that worked, you know, 10 years ago. You could buy traffic on Google, drive them to a page where there were other ads, and you could actually make money. And that was called arbitrage. But in this day and age, it's just not feasible, and that no longer works. And I said, you have to have a business model, a plan. You have to have a reason for somebody to engage on your site and take an action. You want to build your email list. Your email list is really important. If people, you know, you can capture them and nurture that list via email and follow-up sequences, now you can sell people other things. You can sell them affiliate offers. You can provide value for them. You can show them other things that you're offering. You can upsell them into different packages or something with continuity, for example. So marketers who are businesses that want to work online these days have to think much more holistically than we used to. You can't just kind of wing it and go into it with just like a short-sighted view of how the internet works. It has to be a very well thought out and developed plan.
I got it. Now, some businesses, of course, you know, the large companies can afford and do spend tens of thousands of dollars on a monthly basis. What about a smaller business or someone that's got some arts and crafts, book, songs? How can a smaller player get in this with the big boys? What kind of budget would be needed?
Well, when you're talking about arts and crafts and things of that nature, you know, coming from an art background, the expense is so much less for the competition. I mean, the competition is not going to be like bidding for insurance leads. Okay, that's an apples and oranges comparison. So things like Facebook are going to be really good for things like if you're selling your art. There are other sites like Etsy, I think. You're going to want to look for other alternative places that you can post your stuff and build a following on Twitter and build a following on Facebook and, you know, do a promoted post, which is not really expensive, so that you can send out new things to your followers. You know, people use Tumblr, for example, which is another, let's say, image blog that's run by Yahoo. People will post images and have people subscribe to their blog, and then every 10th image or so, they'll post a picture of their products so that people are familiarized with what they're selling. So there's different ways to approach that. You know, I'm not operating in that capacity right now. My focus is on companies that are doing at least $1 million in gross revenue per year online. So I can speak more to that than I can for the smaller businesses at this point.
Sure, no problem. And that was very appreciated, that advice for the smaller person. we probably have a good proportion of people listening to this now in the future that may not do $1 million a year. And you've mentioned some advice for them would be the Facebook, the Twitter following, post sponsored ads on Facebook,
Pinterest,
Tumblr.
Is another good one. Post your stuff on Pinterest, things like that. Social networks that you can use for free and build a following.
Otherwise, they'll spend their shirt plus if they try to compete on Google AdWords, because of course that's where it's all at right there.
You know, but the thing is with that, Tony, if you can find a website, a couple websites that, and this is another Russell Brunson axiom, he talks about the congregation, and the congregation is basically the place where people who like what you offer, where they hang out. So if, for example, you sell something like, let's just say you sell hockey supplies or hockey art, I don't know, you know, you'd want to find out, well, what are the websites that people who like hockey go to? You know, are there forums? Are there places where people go just to discuss hockey? And if so, that's the congregation, that they hang out there. And you can run ads on those sites for far less than you would like on a broad scale, and bring traffic to your particular offer for just, you know, a fraction of what it would cost to do an ad for something, you know, competing with the big guys, right? A big box retailer trying to sell stuff. So that's another consideration, is find out where people who like what you have to offer are hanging out, and buy traffic there and only there. It's going to be far more affordable that way and focused.
That's very wise advice. Thank you. That's very good to know, because it's, for some people, it's daunting where to go and how to do it, because it's so wide, so big.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many websites.
Yep.
Well, all right. What else can we tell our people about online marketing? We've discussed the AdWords. We've discussed the smaller businesses to look in the venues. What else can you say about good online marketing here?
There's so much to it. I'm going to think about it. You know, when you talk about the holistic aspect of it, you really want to try to think about what your whole business offer is, and what can you sell people beyond just the one thing, right? What else can you offer people? And so if you think about Amazon, if you've ever purchased anything from Amazon, you'll notice that whenever you make a purchase, when you're checking out, they'll say, people who liked this also have purchased these things, right? I don't know if you've seen that, but that's a common thing. Yeah, right? So it's the same as when people ask you if you want fries with that at McDonald's, do you want to supersize it, that kind of thing, is find out what else you can offer people. And don't just sell them one thing. Try to sell them a bunch of stuff. And, you know, don't be pushy about it, but make it available to people so that your per customer value goes up. And that's how
people
make...
People
make advertising work. You know, they make a lot of offers.
Add more products or services to what they already have.
Yeah. Yeah. And offer that. Make that available to people.
That's so smart. Donovan, do you offer any kind of training courses or anything like that for education?
I don't at this time. But that's something I'm considering doing. So it's just not at this time. I'm so busy working with clients, which
I understand.
Is a good problem to have, yeah.
I think at one point in time in the past, you were offering some sort of some marketing classes, but I know your company has grown and changed and metamorphosized over the years as well.
Yeah, I've done training in the past, working with other people, and I may do it again, but right now the focus is just helping clients and grow their business right now, and that will probably change in the future.
Well, very good, very good. Very, very appreciated. I thank you very much for spending the time with us and going over this whole thing. So as I understand it, the smartest thing to do for the larger companies is is investing in the buying the clicks on Google AdWords and then testing what keywords and what call to action is the best. And then from there, get into an SEO type activity, because now you know what people are getting into. You know what people are buying, what people are looking into. Is that a good, is that a good summary of it?
Yep, that's it. Yep. Optimize with Google AdWords if you're going to do SEO, and then use that data to optimize your website.
I think that's a good takeaway for our audience. Anything else? Anything else here on the horizon? And like, the industry keeps changing. So can you, I know you're on the inside of Google, so anything else you can share with us? You know, I'm looking for, you know, don't give away any secrets, but any other nuggets there?
You know, it's, there's not like, there's no magic formula. And a lot of people believe that there is and want to think that there is a magic formula and that you wave a magic wand. It's about educating yourself and practicing what you learn. And you have to do it consistently day in and day out. So, you know, correct principles. Like, you know, I'm a big fan of Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I read that book 10 times many years ago. And, you know, Stephen Covey talks about correct principles and the law of the farm being one of those things, the law of the farm. So when I start working with clients, I always tell them, hey, the law of the farm applies to this business model. And what do we mean by that? Well, you don't plant seed and then expect a harvest a couple days later. It's not the way the law of the farm works. You have to properly till the soil. You have to plant at the right intervals and the right depth. You have to water. You have to weed. You have to protect and guide your harvest, you know, to your crop until the due time for the harvest. And then you have to harvest it correctly. And if you're a winemaker, that's a very serious business. And then the process of making the wine after that is, you know, quite complex in addition to that. And you have to be willing to endure and go through that whole process. And but the end result is quite rewarding. And likewise, it's the same deal with companies that are doing business successfully online. I like to think of them as, you know, not only as ships, but also like a winery. You know, you have to grow the grapes. You want to really care for the soil and care for the grapes and watch them and care for them very carefully. And then when you make wine, you have to do that whole process very carefully and very thoughtfully. And it has its due time. And if people adapt that mindset, it helps to kind of orient you in the correct mentality moving forward, so that you don't try to cut corners and get results, you know, overnight, because that's where people get frustrated and waste money. So that's going to be my biggest takeaway.
Well said.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, pardon?
That's going to be my biggest takeaway.
I like that very much, because as in farming, when you plant your seeds, not every seed, if you go down to the specific seed, there will be and will be many specific seeds that don't give you what you want, don't give you that tree, the grapes, that vine, whatever. So not every seed is going to give you what you expect. Not every action you take is going to give you what you expect in online marketing. But you keep at it, you learn, you learn, you learn what is going to work overall, and then you get that down and down to a fine science. So you'll have less waste and more production as time goes on.
Right.
Sounds great. Well, Donovan, I really appreciate having you on the show. It's been absolutely wonderful to have you. It's been lovely to have this chat. It's been very informative. Again, your website, Donovan's website, is 24-7-sales.com. And thank you once again, Donovan. I very much loved our chat.
Yeah, my pleasure, Tony. Thanks for having me. You guys have a great great rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have John Eberhard, president of Real Web Marketing. He says you need more than just a very good-looking website. You have to market it properly in order to achieve the leads, sales, and other results that you want. John will give us some of the latest info about internet marketing on the next episode of Revenue Chat. This is Tony D'Urso, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. Get the book at TonyDURSO.com. And if you want to read the first 30 pages of Easy Sales Procedures, send an email to support@TonyDURSO.com. Until next time, and remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.